On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
With kickoff rapidly approaching, now is the perfect time to start preparing for the fantasy football season. If you want to dominate your draft, check out the Roto-World Draft Guide for everything you'll need to get a leg up on the competition. It includes more than 500 player profiles, Evan Silva sleepers and busts, mock draft analysis for six different types of leagues, positional rankings from five of our experts, customizable projections, and much, much more. So head on over to rotoworld.com/draftguide. That's rotoworld.com/draftguide to take your first step towards fantasy football glory.
This is CSN's Redskins Talk. Here is your host, JP Finley.
What's up, everybody? JP Finley here with another episode of Redskins Talk Podcast. I am joined, as always, by my man, Rich Tandler. Tandler, what's up, man?
Hey, doing great.
So, I don't think either of us expected this. I think we have a little bit of news we got to talk about, and you can pick the order. Jordan Reed isn't as much news at this point, but I do think we need to talk about what the plan for him should be. And then we need to talk about Spencer Long and kind of what his knee scope means for the Redskins. So, again, you can pick. Which one do you want to dive into first?
Well, I think Spencer Long is the lead, definitely, being did come as something of a surprise, and it's the most recent news.
Okay, I'm with you. So, Spencer Long is the Redskins' starting center. He's manned that position most of last season. The coaches are all really high on him. Whenever Gruden talks about him, or you know, the rare moment you actually get to talk to Bill Callahan for a second, they really like his potential and development as a center. You know, I've gotten to know Spencer a little bit, and just in speaking with him, he has some innate leadership qualities. He's a smart guy. He's pretty funny also. Like, I get a kick out of talking to Spencer. And he's a dude that will take ownership when things go wrong. Tandler, I don't know if you remember this, but I got Spencer after that terrible Lions loss last year where they,
right,
remember the Skins took the lead late and then blew the lead late. Spencer Long was one of the guys that came out and talked to me on our Redskins postgame show and just owned up to the loss and said, you know, because the defense had given up that drive late, but he's like, this is on the whole team. It's not just about one drive. And I just always respected him for that. So, the good news here, so he had to get a minor knee scope, Jason LaCanfora reported, but he's only out 2 weeks. Now, Tandler, you take us through the options now and kind of we can discuss what, if anything, we think bigger picture.
Yeah, well, 2 weeks from today, I think the first thing that should be pointed out, 2 weeks from today is they will be a day before really starting preparations for their season opener, the games that count against the Eagles. So if he is on schedule, and you know there's no reason to think it wouldn't be, he will be back for that first regular season game. The option right now is Chase Ruye, and I wrote on CSNMidAtlantic.com that, you know, it might be, and while this is a net negative because the Redskins, they need, their line needs time together to work because obviously, especially against the run, they haven't been doing well. and the fact that Spencer Long is just in his second year as a starter. In fact, he didn't even go through training camp last year as the starter. That was Corey Lichtensteiger.
Right.
Lichtensteiger went out against the Giants. That was week 3.
Yep.
And then he took over. He'd been doing some guard, some center in training camp. So this is really his first full training camp / preseason as the center, and missing a couple of weeks, missing that third preseason game is not good. However, all that said, I think it gives them a chance to find out what they have in Chase Roullier. I mean, they have not gone out and to find a veteran center, even though they knew that Spencer Long could get hurt. I think that shows some degree of faith. You know, they just drafted him. You know, when OTAs rolled around, boom, he's been the backup center. He's been there ever since. So, but it gives them a chance to look at him against the Bengals starters for a half and see what they have. And see if they get, okay, this guy can get it done, or okay, we'd better go out and see what our options are to pick up a veteran center.
Right. And so, you know, I don't know if you remember this, but when they drafted him, so they moved up to draft him. They wanted this guy in particular. And I can't remember when I talked to folks about this, but Roullier was a guy that was on a lot of folks' radar, especially where they got him, and a lot of folks think that's a real value pick. And if you look elsewhere around the NFL, I mean, rookie linemen play often, and it's not just guys on the first or second round. I mean, you think about kind of those Ravens playoff runs, these Patriots playoff runs, they often have rookie linemen playing in the playoffs. And so I don't think anybody should be terrified of the prospect of this kid Chase playing. I think of the Saturday draft picks, he was the one with the clearest roster spot. I mean, if you talk to Jay Gruden, remember he said he has nightmares about not having a backup center? It's interesting that they can be at this point now where I'm curious what the next move is if they bring in a veteran to now be a backup to Roullier. I kind of think they will. I wrote about the possibility of Nick Mangold, and to me, Mangold isn't an option unless Long has a setback or something doesn't seem quite right with that knee when he comes back. I'm curious your thoughts.
Yeah, well, I don't think they're going to bring anybody in. I think they'll is it Ronald Patrick?
Yep, Ronald Patrick.
It was a third thing. I just think they'll work him with the twos and just wait it out. You know, Long wasn't going to obviously wasn't going to play in that fourth preseason game anyway. I guess the question is now if Roullier will.
Right. I mean,
some more work in.
Do you want Roullier playing in that fourth preseason game? I don't think you do.
I think you do. I don't think you can be, because in theory, Long will be back by, when that game's over.
I mean, all of a sudden, Roullier is a very important piece, and I just don't know that you risk that.
Yeah, so are a lot of guys. He's still your backup center.
True.
He is no less important before, assuming that Gruden had in mind that he's a guy and he has faith in him, that he can get the job done if Long goes out and during the regular season. It's really not a different situation now than it was before Long got injured. I mean, he's still backup center is still important, but you know what? You have that word backup in front of your name.
Right.
You're probably playing in Tampa on a week from Thursday? Yeah.
Well, and if you figure he probably would have started Thursday night and played the first half anyway. So it's kind of, I see your point. What do we think about the possibility if Roullier looks good that Spencer Long maybe comes back and in a left guard role? I think it's too premature to say that.
No, I think it's very premature. I think obviously you'll have the confidence that if Sean LaValle gets hurt, and maybe that's a when, not an if, looking at his history, at some point he seems likely to miss a game or two. But if that happens, I think there would be confidence that move could be made. It might stay permanent, given that Labau is a free agent at the end of the year. Of course, Spencer Long is too, but I think they're probably going to make more of a push to re-sign Long than they will Labau. So, you know, maybe if there's an injury, but I don't see them just, okay, Spencer Long's healthy, we're going to leave Rouillet in there and go to kick Long to the bench.
I agree. I think by now all of our listeners know that Ari Quanjo is not pushing for that job. I don't think any of those guys, Kyle Kalise, Ty Catalina, any of those guys are not pushing for that job. If an injury happens, it'd be very interesting to see what happens. I think Rouillet is a real opportunity, even if it's just to be the backup for a year and then see what happens next year. It's an interesting spot, and it's interesting how this came about. One thing that I find pretty kind of funny, I guess, Tanner, and I'm curious if you agree, there's a lot of hand-wringing over Sua Cravens and whether or not his timetable for having a knee procedure done will actually fall in line with week one against the Eagles. You know, there's a lot of anxiety over that. Now,
where is that coming from besides fans just being fans and getting? Is this from? Have you heard something?
Gruden
not
said
from
it.
Fans.
Gruden, the coach, said it. Gruden said, "Yeah, I'm worried about it. You know, you." We're hopeful he's back, but you never know. I mean, the coach said that. He said
that. Yeah, okay. Well, they're you know, but Long could be out longer than that. You know, Jordan Reed could slip in the shower and miss week one. You know, I guess a lot of things could happen.
But it's a center getting his knee scoped 2 weeks before the first game. To me, it's not a nothing.
No, I'm not. I didn't say it's nothing. Just like I'm not saying Cravens is nothing, but I just don't see any reason to worry about a plan B at safety, other than you just don't, you know, anybody can get hurt at any time. That's
sure.
What, I guess that's the way more I'm looking at it, rather than I don't think he'll be back.
I would argue though that possibility is heightened when a player's just had an operation on a knee. There is more reason for concern.
Okay. That's fine.
If I had to guess, I think Gruden will say that as well when we finally get to talk to him on Wednesday. This break is odd. So everybody knows the Skins played Saturday night, and then there's no media access Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And then, as opposed to a regular week, we would go and talk to Gruden Monday, and then they'd be practice Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. This week, there's going to be practice Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Saturday is out at Andrews Air Force Base, and it's a pretty cool event. It's a lot of military folks there, and the players interact. It's neat to be there. But it's pretty odd they're going to have a practice a day before a game.
Well, it's a walk. They always have a walk through the day before the game.
Sure.
Before, if it's a road game, they do it before they leave. If it's a home game, they do it before they go to the local hotel. So I mean, it's just different in that it's at Andrews and is open to the media.
Right. Well, and actually,
and they'll be doing what they normally do, except they'll be hopping on a bus and going to the other side of the Beltway.
Andrews might actually be closer than, right? I mean, don't they stay at the Gaylord anyway?
Yes.
So Andrews is right there. I mean, it's actually...
They'll probably go to the Gaylord, well, either right before or right at... Well, no, probably before that, because they're not practicing till 2, I think it's 2:30, something. It's a late afternoon, mid to late afternoon.
Oh, it's 2:30 at Andrews?
Yeah.
I didn't know that, man. I'm trying to go to this junkies party. That's a bummer. Anyway, I'll deal with that myself. All right, so let's talk about Jordan Reed a little bit, and let's talk about the Redskins offense, maybe more big picture. Reed coming back obviously is going to help them. The last time we saw him was in minicamp. He was dominant. I do not think Jordan Reed is the panacea for this offense that some are billing it to be. I think for one, you can't be that worried about the offense. They've been bad, but it's not the end of the world. It's the preseason. You know, the Giants haven't scored a touchdown yet in the preseason.
I did notice that.
Yeah, so I don't think people should be so worked up about it. I don't think Jordan Reed is not the guy that's going to transform their run game. You know what I mean? Like, he's not the physical presence they need on the offensive line. I think he'll help. Let me just
throw this in there. I mean, his, you know, he got hurt against the Cowboys when the Redskins were 6-3-1. And I don't think it's any coincidence that they finished the season, what was that, a 2-4 finish?
Yep, 2-4.
For the season. And that's not a coincidence that he was out with a shoulder injury and then had, you know, played hampered because of the shoulder.
Oh, for sure. Did you?
No coincidence.
When I wrote about Reed when he came back, whenever, I guess I wrote that maybe Sunday morning or something. So, you having a nice cold drink there, Tandler? We can hear your cup
little,
of ice.
Little iced coffee.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so the Cowboys game on Thanksgiving, which was the last game Reed really played effectively, the Redskins threw for 449 yards. In the three games prior to that, they had gone for 360 and 446. So they were really airing the ball out. And then they had a 260 also in a game that where they beat Minnesota. In the five games after that, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, is that 6? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In the five games after that Cowboys game, when Reed was either not playing or certainly not playing effectively, they only got over 300 yards once. I mean, the passing yards specifically was a significant drop-off. So that Cowboys game, they went 449 passing yards. The following week in Arizona was 246. At Philly, 227. Against the Panthers, that Monday night terrible loss, they passed for 306 yards. And, Tandler, I've pointed this game out time and time again. That was like the peak of hollow passing yards because they never were actually in that game. And then
throw for that many yards and put 15 points on the board does not not a great thing there.
Right. And then the Bears game 270 and that Giants game at the end of the year 246. So Reed makes a big difference, certainly. And I don't want to poo-poo that at all. But I don't know that if he was playing, do you think he'll play against Cincy, against the Bengals?
No.
Do you think he should play against the Bengals?
No.
All right, give me your reasoning.
He knows the offense. And with just, what is it again? 3 days of practice plus the walkthrough? No. He should not play. He should, you know, be eased back in. He probably won't do. I doubt he'll do team drills this week. I mean, the thing is, he's been able to do nothing in practice. When you're on the pup list, you can't do much but watch. You can work out on the side. You can catch passes from the jugs machine.
Meetings,
things like that.
I mean, he's in meetings.
Yeah, you can go to meetings, stuff like that. But you can't. I doubt he'll even participate in team drills this week.
I wonder, maybe he'll do team drills like Thursday. You're probably right. I think I agree with you. I don't think he will play. I don't think he should play. A small part of me, though, thinks this team could use a shot of confidence, and he could give them that. Because if they can't move the ball again against the Bengals, the starters probably aren't going to play against the Bucs week four. And I'd argue that they'd really be limping, not limping, but they'd really be coming into that Eagles week one without much to feel good about. And that wouldn't matter if this was the same offense as last year and you know what they've done, but it's not. It's a new group of guys and a new group of skill position guys, and there's some question marks.
Yeah. I guess so. I would not overly dramatize the, you know, the importance of preseason and doing well. You can go back, you can look at horrible preseasons and good regular seasons coupled together and vice versa. you know, I think, yes, ideally you would like them to do well, but that momentum does not always carry over for the simple, you know, game planning.
Right.
You know, on both sides, it's just such a different.
Right. And I'm agreeing. I think our listeners are going to be very weirded out by us having nuanced conversation without yelling at one another and having adamant disagreements. But I agree with you primarily. I'm just saying I wouldn't play Jordan Reed. Taylor, you got to cool it with this iced coffee, dude. Jeez. I think Jordan Reed is really, really good, and the team knows that. And Jordan Reed has a tendency to get injured, and the team knows that. And there's no reason to have those paths converge, right, in the preseason. So I'm with you. I'm just saying, if we do see him in team drills, I could see an argument for having him play a series or two against the Bengals. I don't think it'll happen. I don't think it should happen, but I can kind of see that argument.
Okay, we won't see team drills. B, Gruden doesn't have to tell us anything because it's the preseason.
Good points. Yeah, it's funny. Now we've gotten so used to watching all of practice. Now it's going back to normal situations where they kick. Yeah, we just have to sit in the trailer for an hour and a half.
It's okay. It was getting pretty hot out there on that AstroTurf. So
our listeners know the Redskins have... They basically have four practice fields in Ashburn at their training facility, and three of them are grass. One of them is this, like, AstroTurf. Probably
1970s, or even though it was built in 1990, you know, it's that kind of AstroTurf that nobody uses anymore because it's junk.
I think it's the first ever AstroTurf field ever built, frankly. It's the worst. And that AstroTurf just bakes in the sun.
That was in the Astrodome in Houston.
I mean, I was kidding, Taylor, but thanks for the clarification. But it just radiates heat. Literally, when you're standing on that, it's like 10 degrees hotter. And for whatever reason, the Redskins, there's the iced coffee. How close are we to finish with that thing?
Very close.
All right. All our listeners will know that I am not drinking anything during this podcast. You're welcome. Literally, the field the Skins almost always practice on, it requires all of the media to stand on the AstroTurf and just bake in the sun. That will be my last portion of media complaints for the day. But I wish they would just go practice on the other side where there's a little bit of shade and it's all grass.
Yes, that would be good, but who knows why they do what they do.
Who knows why they do. I agree with that. All right. Taylor, you had a pretty cool piece, and I think you're going to make it a series that I wanted to touch on real quick before we go. Take me through the position reviews. I know you did the wide receivers already.
Yeah, I did the wide receivers on, what's today? I did that on Monday. Tuesday, I put up the defensive line. And I'm just trying, you know, because I go through the roster projection and the depth chart a bunch of times. I'll do it probably a couple more times before they go to the final cuts here, but just kind of look at, you know, how things stack up. You know, how is the defensive line going to be better or worse than it was last year? Where does it compare to the rest of the NFL? What players have a big upside? You know, who's a rookie to keep an eye on? What I think is going to go on. So I'm just going to go through position by position over the next, probably take about 10 days, I think, give or take, with a couple of days off for game coverage. And, just to kind of get a, you know, I mean, I'm kind of doing this research myself. This, a lot of my articles come from, you know, I'm just kind of looking up things for myself, and I say, hey, maybe the readers will be interested in this. So that's what this is about.
All right, so let's just run through the receivers one. I found that one kind of interesting. I think we both agree we expect the Redskins to keep six receivers.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, here's my six. And I have a hunch we're on the same wavelength, but I'm curious. So I got Pryor, Doxson, Crowder, Ryan Grant, Mo Harris, and then the rookie, Robert Davis. I'm curious if you see that differently.
I put Davis on the bubble along with Brian Quick, I think there might still be some competition there.
I agree.
But Quick looks like he's being... Quick would have to clearly be better than Davis to win the spot over a draft pick. And I think Brian Quick has been at least a step or two under Robert Davis's performance. So I think I'm still putting it there. Still, I think there's maybe a little bit of doubt there still.
Right. Well, and I think there's still games to be played. I mean, one of those guys could have a monster effort against the Bengals. All right. There's the iced coffee again, folks. I think Davis is what he's already put on tape, and his potential as a special teamer kind of set him apart. Honestly, I think what with him on one side and Fabian Moreau on the other side as gunners and punt coverage, that looks pretty impressive. That looks like a duo that could really do some stuff for the Skins. And I think they like that a lot. And Brian Quick has not shown that eagerness or ability, I don't think.
No, I would agree.
The one guy, and you know I'm very high on his playmaking, and I always talk about how good of hands he has, is Maurice Harris. But as he continues to not play, I mean, who knows if maybe they try to put him on, you know, make a roster move. They don't want to lose him, but if he can't play, it could change the situation a little bit.
Well, yeah, you usually only keep five wide receivers up on game day anyway.
Right.
So there's going to be an inactive guy. And I think, you know, if Harris needs, you know, he had the knee, was it tendonitis, cartilage problem?
He twisted something early in camp.
Right.
And then, and now I think it's turned into tendonitis or something. We need to look at that, honestly. But
right. The knee, but you know, if he's still not quite up to speed or still ailing somewhat, they could just put him, have him inactive the first couple of weeks until he's up to play.
All right, we're gonna wrap it here. RT, this is gonna be our first week. We're gonna do an actual game preview for this Bengals game. So do a little digging, man. Let's see what is important specific to this game. Maybe we will each give kind of the three things we think the Redskins have to do, and neither of us is allowed to say something boilerplate like play good offense. We have to dig in a little bit more than that.
You're setting rules now after all this time?
I'm trying to put the genie back in the bottle.
Oh, man. Okay, well, good luck. No, that's fine.
I tell you what, I do think today's podcast has been much less tangential and off the tracks without Pete and Mitch and being in a tent in Richmond and everybody running around and yelling at us. I think we're actually able to talk football.
Well, of course, those podcasts did pretty well, so we'll have to see how.
I know. We might have to go back.
These stick to sports theme is doing here.
We will certainly have our normal cast of characters around. It's just kind of an odd schedule that we weren't out at the park at all. And, you know, Tandler lives in Ashburn and I live in Bethesda, and neither of us are going to the other place unless we have to, pretty much.
Right.
All right, Tandler, thank you for talking to all of our listeners. Make sure you are finding our stuff on social media, reading our stuff on CSM Mid-Atlantic. Please subscribe to the podcast and give us some ratings and reviews. We need all that stuff to show our bosses. I'm being totally honest. Tell them, Taylor.
Last year we did, it was pretty easy to track. We usually do one a week, maybe a second one, but now we're going to do, you know, we'll be doing multiple podcasts every week. The only way to keep track of what we do is to subscribe.
Taylor, I think we were doing three a week last year, dude. In season. In season.
Okay. Yeah, maybe so.
But yeah, the podcasts are only going to go up. I actually, especially post-game, because our post-game situations are kind of different, Taylor. You know what I mean? Like, Taylor gets to go to the podium for Jay Gruden, and usually you stay in there for Kirk, usually, right, Rich?
Right, well, I go to the locker room and then go back.
And then Taylor gets to write and kind of wrap his head around what's happened. Whereas for me, I'm doing TV interviews and kind of running around like a chicken with my head cut off a lot, trying to get players out there for interviews. So then when Tandler and I get to sit down and talk for a few minutes to record the post-game podcast, I mean, you guys really get to hear kind of our first reactions and our first conversation after the game. Now, granted, Rich and I sit next to each other the whole game, so we're pretty in tune with what the other is thinking throughout. But a lot of times it's kind of interesting to see what I have gleaned from talking to players and being kind of in the tunnel as the guys are coming off the field versus what Tandler has heard from the coach and then in the locker room and stuff. So I hope you guys enjoy those immediate kind of post-game podcasts. I think it's a really cool opportunity for kind of some inside access.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I'll be glad when we're doing those at 5 o'clock in the afternoon instead of at midnight.
Right, totally. I'm actually glad. I think 4:30 this weekend's a pretty good start time.
Oh, I love it. I don't think the Redskins have had a non-7:30 preseason yet since I've been covering them.
Yeah, now that you say that,
maybe one, but not many.
It's been a while. Okay, Tandler, good talk, man. I will see you tomorrow. I will see you Wednesday at Redskins Park. We will have another podcast. I'm thinking we will record Thursday night for a game preview, so that should be up Friday morning. Thanks to Rich Tandler. Thanks to all you guys for listening. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
I owe you a beer.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.